I'll call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 9:06 a.m. on Wednesday, March 11th, 2026. Present today are Representative Allard, Representative Stapp, Representative Moore, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Jimmy, and Co-Chair Foster, Co-Chair Schrage, and myself, Co-Chair Josephson. Also present today are House Finance Committee staff, including Committee Assistant Helen Phillips, Paige Tallulah-Lastufka, Secretary Bree Wiley, and Secretary Leah Frazier. We also have our moderator, Emily Mesh, from the Legislative Information Office with us. Before we start, please mute your cell phones. At this meeting, the committee will be introducing and adopting committee substitutes for House Bill 263 and 265. More clearly, we'll be asking to adopt those versions of substitutes. And the FY27 operating and mental health bills. Well, both of those are the operating and mental health bills. In committee members' packets are the following items: House Bill 263, work draft version H; House Bill 263, inline comparison between version G and version H; House Bill 265, work draft version I; House Bill 265, redline comparison between version I and version G; agency summary totals, all funds; agency summary totals, UGF only. House Committee Substitute 1 to House Committee Substitute 2, transaction compare. House Committee Substitute 1 to House Committee Substitute 2, language only compare. Governor's amendments to House Committee Substitute 2, transaction compare. And House Subcommittee to House Committee Substitute 2, numbers only, transaction compare. The Legislative Finance Division is not in the room yet, but will be soon for any technical questions during this meeting. We've been joined by Representative Bynum. All right. With that, do I have a motion on the first committee substitute for House Bill 263, version H?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move that the House Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 263 Finance, Work Draft 34-GH249H /H, marks, dated March 5th, 2026, is our working document.
Okay. I will object for the purposes of any explanation and call my staff forward to explain the changes in version H. Mr. Schroeder, please come to the table and put yourself on the record to explain those changes.
Good morning, members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Alexander Schroeder, staff to Co-Chair Josephson. Always a pleasure. Before we begin, I'd like to clarify on the record what is meant by House Committee Substitute 2 or HCS2. HCS2 refers to the combination of HB 63 version H, the operating bill, and HB 265 version G, the mental health bill. The Legislative Finance Division reports in members' packets today refer to both bills when tracking totals and item changes. Before the committee is a proposed committee substitute for House Bill 263, the operating bill, work draft 34-GH249H. The only changes made between version G and version H are changes recommended in the subcommittee closeout reports. There were no alterations made to subcommittee recommendations, but there are a few things worth noting. First, there were items approved by the subcommittees that impacted and required coordination between multiple agencies. These include the following: elimination of the Shared Services of Alaska Division and transfer of those functions back to the various agencies. This required approving transfer of 57 permanent full-time positions to the agencies to support accounting functions, such as account payables, travel, expenses, and expense activities. Funding for these positions remained in the agencies during the original consolidation in FY18, so no funding accompanied the transfers. The second is the transfer of payroll processing functions from the Department of Administration back to agencies which requested to reclaim these functions. These departments included corrections, fish and game, law, military and veterans affairs, natural resources, public safety, and transportation and public facilities. The remaining agencies opted to continue with the existing centralized processing and oversight in DOA. And lastly, all information technology classification study implementation increments were approved. The total for those increments was $1.9 million UGF and $7.9 million all funds. The second thing worth noting is the Department of Fish and Game subcommittee recommended an increment of $400,000 UGF for commercial fisheries to supplant the Bristol Bay Science Research Institute contribution to Port Mueller. The subcommittee narrative and closeout report for this department asks that a technical correction be made to change the allocation from Westward Region Fisheries Management to Central Region Fisheries Management. We made that change in this committee substitute. That is reflected in the document titled House Subcommittee to HCS2 Numbers Only Compare. The third thing worth noting is the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Subcommittee accepted the Alaska Marine Highway System move from a calendar year to a multi-year structure. However, because language sections were not under the purview of the subcommittees, the DOT subcommittee could only accept the removal of the Alaska Marine Highway System funding from the numbers section, with the understanding that the multi-year funding would be added to the language section later. The committee substitute before you adds the multi-year language. On pages 58, 59, and 60 of the inline, I'll give you a moment to flip there.
And that's the version marked G with a cross through and an H. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. If members turn to page 58, please continue.
Sections 4, 5, and 6, these sections were the operating expenditures of the Alaska Marine Highway System in the numbers section. Then if you turn to page 69, beginning on line 28, the Alaska Marine Highway System is restored to a multi-year operating structure. And then lastly, if you turn to page 84... you can see on line 18 that section 35 is deleted. This section was the effective date for the previous calendar year structure for the Alaska Marine Highway System. So that concludes my remarks on specific changes in version H. Now I would like to take a moment to talk about overall total funds. There are two useful ways to review agency fund totals in this committee substitute. The first is the difference between HCS1 and HCS2. HCS1 to HCS2 tells the committee members everything that has been added above the adjusted base, including governor's requests and subcommittee changes. The second difference is the difference between governor's amendments or government and HCS2. Government to HCS2 tells the committee members specifically what the subcommittees changed with regard to the governor's requests. Although statewide items are included in the agency summary documents in your packet, statewide items were not changed in this committee substitute. Therefore, I will ignore statewide items in the following fund totals. The net change between HCS1 and HCS2 for FY27 agency operations is the following. An increase of $147,728,800 in unrestricted general funds. An increase of $8,123,100 in designated general funds. An increase of $17,584,600 in other state funds, and an increase of $415,289,700 in federal receipts. Again, these fund totals represent the net change when taking together the governor's amendments and the subcommittee recommendations to the adjusted base. The net change between government and HCS2 for FY27 agency operations is the following. An increase of $42,778,100 in unrestricted general funds, a decrease of $14,950,100 in designated general funds, a decrease of $14,623,000 in other state funds, and a decrease of $256,735,200 in federal receipts. Again, this is the total fund change when comparing just the subcommittee changes to governor amendments. That concludes the differences between HB 263 version G and HB 263 version H. I'm happy to try to answer any questions.
Mr. Schroeder, can you tell us about the decrease in federal receipts of $256 million? Do you have a recollection of that?
Through the chair, I do have an answer for that. The governor's amendments on February 18th had the Rural Health Transformation Fund dollars added in there. That was a total of $272,175,000 in federal receipts. That has not been added to this committee substitute yet because there were no language, no changes to the language section.
Okay. Yes, Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Co-Chair Justin. Through the chair to Mr. Young Alexander. On page 10, K-12 support. This is probably a drafting error, but I am having a hard time seeing what the heck this number is. It's page 10 on the blue line version under K-12 support. It's a lot of commas and a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For the record, Young Alexander. This is probably a question I'd prefer to punt to the Legislative Finance Division, but I don't think that they're currently in the room.
Okay. Let's hold that question for the moment in the hope that one of them arrives. Other questions, Rep. Stapp?
Okay. It's just a big number.
It is a big number. Rep. Galvin for Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you. Mr. Schroeder, could it be that number would be found in the in the newer format? Would we be able to find it there under deed, and maybe that would answer some questions?
Mr. Schroeder.
Through the chair, Representative Galvin and Representative Stapp, just to clarify, this is the K-12 support number that we're referring to. Through the chair, I think what's going on here is this is actually possibly two numbers, one that's an appropriation items total and one that's a general fund total that looks smushed together in this draft. But to your point, Representative Galvin, you're correct in just version H. If you give me a moment to
follow
flip there.
Follow up, if I may.
Yes, and Mr. Schroeder's correct. That is entirely the answer to that.
Column shoved together.
There's two numbers there. Yes.
Yeah, and I just wanted to share that the pagination hasn't changed either, so it is still page 10, line 21.
Line 17.
That might help.
Line 17.
It's line 17 in both the blue version
and the 17 and 21, depending on which one.
Yes.
They're both goofy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Other questions about the proposed work draft that is before us? I think what we'll do...
Let me take a brief at ease, Coach.
Yes. And actually, I want to, yes, brief at ease at 9:19. We're back on record at 9:20 in Juneau on the 11th of March in House Finance. I don't see other questions, and so I'm inclined to ask my colleague, Co-Chairman Shragi, for a motion.
Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Justin. I guess it'd probably be you, Co-Chair. On page 14, there's some relatively really lengthy intent language here regarding OCS, and I'm just curious if we could maybe explain what exactly it is that we're attempting to do there with some of the PCN direction and reporting requirements to Office of Children Services. To the chair.
Yes, give me one moment. Is this, Mr. Schroeder, this is wordage, is that?
For the record, Alexander Schroeder, This was added during the Finance Subcommittee as an amendment, and all of this language was in basically one amendment. I think, Chairman, if I'm correct, the intent is to clean this up in a future committee substitute.
So, more specifically, in answer to Representative Stapp's question, since I chaired the DFCS, Permanent Family and Community Services Subcommittee, much of the focus and work of the subcommittee, as reflected by its work as a standing committee for health and social services, and then as a subcommittee under my guidance, and based on the testimony we heard in this room, and the three audits that were done, really one audit and three phases. This is a reflection of the subcommittee's concern with OCS following what was originally called House Bill 151 in 2018, and some of it has financial impact, some of it doesn't. It's designed to show the seriousness of the subcommittee in trying to get placement for children and deal with also retention of the workforce. So, and I think what Mr. Schroeder is saying is that we wanted to do credit to the subcommittee and write it as it was given to us, but that in a future language amendment, this could be altered to make it sort of less, more readable, less cumbersome, something along those lines.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions? Okay. Co-Chair Shiragi, can I have a motion as to House Bill 265, version is it G or
H?
H. This is okay. Version H.
Brief at ease, Chair.
Brief at ease. Back on record at 9:23, the chair had previously objected. I'm going to lift my objection. Are there further objections?
Object.
Okay. Would you like to speak to your objection?
No.
Okay. With no comments and a standing objection, we'll call the roll as to adoption. A motion to adopt version G. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Jimmy?
Sorry. H. Be clear. Version H.
Representative Jimmy?
Yes.
Representative Allard?
No.
Representative Stapp?
No.
Representative Galvin?
Yes.
Representative Moore?
No.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Tomaszewski?
No.
Representative Bynum?
No.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Shiragi?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
6 yay, 5 nay.
And so by a vote of 6-5, the Finance Committee has adopted version H and made it its working draft for House Bill 263, the operating budget. We have one more order of business, and that's the mental health bill. That's House Bill 265. Do I have a motion on the committee substitute for House Bill 265, version G?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move that the House Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 265 Finance, Work Draft 34-GH2502/G, marks March 6, 2026 as our working document.
Okay, I'll object for purposes of an explanation. Mr. Schroeder, please explain the changes.
For the record, Alexander Schroeder, staff to Representative Josephson. Through the chair, before the committee is the proposed committee substitute for House Bill 265, the Mental Health Bill, Work Draft 34, GH 2502/G. A red line, an inline, because it's no longer red in this version, it's blue. An inline comparing HB 265 version I and HB 265 version G is included in members' packets. The only changes made between version I and version G are changes recommended in the subcommittee closeout reports. There were no alterations made to subcommittee recommendations. And that concludes the differences between version I and version G.
Okay. Any questions about the mental health bill version we seek to adopt? I don't see any. Rep Howler, do you have a question?
Psych. No.
I don't think the minutes have to reflect that. I'll leave that up to someone else. I don't see any other questions, so I will turn to my co-chair.
Nope, you'll just lift your
objection. Remove my objection. Are there further objections? Seeing and hearing none, we have adopted version G of the Mental Health Trust Bill, also called House Bill 265. It will be our working draft. That concludes our business this morning. Our next House Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for this afternoon at 1:30. We will be doing a lot of listening for the rest of the day. At that meeting, we will hear public testimony on House Bill 263 and House Bill 265, the operating budget from the following communities in Alaska: Juneau, Sitka, Petersburg, Delta Junction, Dillingham, Glen Allen, Valdez, Wrangell, Homer, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Seward, Tok, and Offnets. Please note that for that meeting, written testimony may be submitted to the committee at house.finance@akleg.gov. We ask the public to keep their testimony to 2 minutes to ensure everyone has an opportunity to testify. Testimony for these areas will conclude at 3:30, and then we resume at 4:30 with other communities. If there's no other business before this committee, we will adjourn at...
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just for clarity.
Yes. Rep. Bynum.
Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. And just for clarity, the item that's before us that you were just announcing is the public testimony. Is that for that's for the mental health bill, or is that for our operating budget?
It's for both bills.
For both bills.
Yep.
And so with that being said, obviously, our operating budget is very incomplete with many things that need to be addressed. Are we hoping that the public will comment on the things that are not included in that bill?
I don't know if that I'm supposed to sort of. Yes, the short answer is yes. It's up to them to testify on what they wish. I will note, just so it's clear, and I don't take your question in any other way, that the other body takes its public testimony weeks and weeks and weeks before it's done the kind of work we do, which is fine. But I think what Rep. Bynum is referring to is items like education funding, which aren't addressed in this bill, the PFD, which is not addressed in this bill. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, Co-Chair. Basically, you know, when the public's asking me, hey, you guys are going to be having public testimony on the operating budget, you know, what's going on there? Basically, my response back to them at this point is that it's still a work in progress. We have much work to do. So if you are going to be testifying, you're testifying on what your aspirations are, what you'd like to see happen, not what's actually in the bill because it is incomplete. I just want to make it really clear that that is an accurate description of what we're expecting for the public to be doing here.
Yes, I mean, they can also testify to what's in the bill, of course, either pro or con. So it's sort of all things.
Okay, thank you.
Okay? Any other questions? All right. Seeing none, we're going to adjourn this morning's meeting, and I'll see you back here at 1:30, and we'll adjourn this meeting at 9:30. We're adjourned.